we had Joe Morris coming. Ooh, I went too far. Amen. We had Joe Morris coming, but we were glad that we postponed it. Joe wanted to postpone it. They had over 15 inches at his house. And when we talked Thursday, he says, I can't even get my truck out, Bishop. And I said, oh, my gosh. So we were snapping pictures back and forth of the messes we both had. And I snapped him a picture of Melissa shoveling snow because we were all working hard. I'm so glad we did because we could pull in and out of the driveway and not fall down. That's a great thing. But Joe, and we're glad we didn't have him come because the hotel had an issue. And then also, too, we found out that Memphis International Airport actually delayed flights and canceled flights for Friday and part of the Saturday. Did they do it all of Saturday, too? Okay. And it just worked out. But Joe, we're working it out. We're going to actually talk to him before Wednesday, and we'll have a new date. And he's wide open. All of our traveling folks that we've had in off and on through the years, they're all hungry to do a meeting because there's not been a lot of meetings, and they're excited about coming. So, and I will tell you, too, you know, this summer we got John David Romick and his wife Carolina are going to come back. I know that service really moved everybody. He's our guest speaker for youth camp this summer, and he'll be here at the church the Sunday before or the Sunday after camp, and we're excited about that. We got a lot of folks coming in. Marty Blackwelder's coming in real soon, Harry Wilson, different ones. We're just excited about it. Amen. It's going to be really good. So, Pastor Matthew, why don't you come on? When we didn't have Joe coming, I was unhooked. Does that make sense? And I asked Pastor Matthew if he'd come on and preach, and it gave me a chance yesterday. I put together a whole new series about the peace of God that we're going to start after we finish the checklist that we're giving you this next Sunday. So that helped me out a whole lot. I asked Pastor Matthew to come and minister today. So why don't you stand on your feet? Let's give thanks to God, but let's welcome Pastor Matthew this morning. Amen. Give him a big hand. Spaceman.
Amen. While you're standing, pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you are, Father. We just ask for your anointing to be in this place today, Father. I thank you that I am anointed to minister. Your words are coming out of my mouth, your anointing, Father. I thank you that everyone in here is anointed to hear. Everyone listening online is anointed to hear and receive. And we give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So good to see you. Thank you all for tuning in online. Thank you all for braving the rough road out here. Amen. I like to start all my, well, not start, I like to include a space story in all my messages. And I had a space story I shared with you last year. I want to share the same story with you, but I have different points for it. So if you've heard the story before, don't fall asleep. It'll be okay, I promise. But also, I'm going to get into some things today where Wesley's going to let you borrow his steel-toed shoes. Did you bring your boots today? No? If they're out in the car, you might need those today. So if you're listening online, go find your steel-toed boots. You might need those today. Amen? Back in 1967 when David was, how are you, 52, David? 62 in 1967? Astronauts Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee, they were killed in the Apollo 1 accident. It wasn't called Apollo 1 at that time, but they were in their space capsule on the launch pad, not taking off into orbit. They were doing what they called a plugs-out test, where they shut the door, pressurized the spacecraft, and was trying to make sure it worked properly, the communications, those types of things. Well, the spacecraft was filled with 100% oxygen, and it was filled to the level of sea level pressure, which at that level, 100% oxygen, when it catches on fire, can melt aluminum and catches on fire so quickly. Anyways, a spark happened in the spacecraft, and the astronauts didn't die immediately, but it was almost immediately. It was tragic. It happened so quickly, you couldn't have even stood up from your desk to call someone before it was over, that when it happened. There was congressional hearings. They wanted to stop the space program. They wanted the space program to stop at that point. There was no sense in risking people's lives like this. And Mission Control was in charge of this operation. And Gene Kranz, this fella here, you probably saw him in Apollo 13. I forget the fellow's name who acted, but he puts on the vest in Apollo 13, the white vest. And anyways, I know y'all love that movie. It's your favorite movie. You watch it every day. And so you know who I'm talking about. And he brought all of his mission control people in the room, and he basically said, he didn't coddle them, he didn't pat them on the back and give them a hug. He said, this is our fault. And I want to read to you what he told his people that day. This is what he said. From this day forward, flight control will be known by two words, tough and competent. Tough means that we are forever accountable for what we do and what we fail to do. We will never again compromise our responsibilities. Every time we walk into mission control, we will know what we stand for. Competent means we will never take anything for granted. We will never be found short in our knowledge and our skills. Mission control will be perfect. Just as a side note here, we're not going to be perfect. I know David's perfect, but not everyone else will be perfect. But we can apply these words to our lives, and I'm going to keep on that here. He continues, when you leave this meeting today, you will go to your office, and the first thing you will do there is write tough and competent on your blackboards. It will never be erased. Each day when you enter the room, these words will remind you the price paid by Grissom, White, and Chaffee. These words are the price of admission to the ranks of mission control. So I want to write today, what are we writing on our blackboards? I ask you today, what are you writing on your blackboards? Are you writing tough and competent? Or are you barely writing on there fragile and alone? What are we putting on there? What's going on in your heart and your mind and your soul? What's going on there? No one could have helped the astronauts at that time. They were in a fragile environment. They were alone. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, when lions hunt, most of the time the man lion's sitting on the recliner eating Cheetos, eating, watching TV, and the woman lion's out doing all the hard work. But when lions hunt, they look for the weak ones, the feeble ones. They're looking for the ones that get separated from the crowd, the stragglers, the isolated, the unguarded animals, the lazy ones, the babies sometimes. The devil is doing those type of things. He's going to try to use depression and discouragement in our lives to devour us. He will seek out those that are isolated, those that are alone, those that are depressed. Those are the ones marked for the attack. Those are the ones that are easy prey for him. When they're off separated, isolated, and they're dragging their face on the floor because woe is me, they're marked for the attack. The devil's ultimate agenda is to destroy us, not to merely hurt us or maim us or discourage us, but to devour and destroy us. He does that when he gets us to bow to circumstances and when we get our face off of what the Word says. But remember, you are tough and competent. You're not fragile and alone. Are you? Is that you? Is that what you're writing on the blackboard of your life? Now, I mentioned a moment ago, Wesley might need to get his steel-toe boots out. He's got some nice steel-toe boots. If you ever need some steel-toe boots, he will let you borrow his steel-toe boots. Do you want to do a commercial for your steel? I'm just joking. I am not going to coddle you for a few moments, and most of you are not the ones I'm speaking to because you're here at church on a wintry morning when the ices are iced over, so please forgive me. But red alert. We are tough and confident and not fragile alone because we're hooked up at church. And it's important to be hooked up at church. It's important to be coming to church regularly, tuning in to church. Pastor, associate pastors and assistants, you know, we learn in Bible school we're not supposed to bring correction to the church. But you asked me as a guest minister to speak today, so is that okay?
I'll fix it.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so it's okay. I do have a big rabbit trail going on, so stay with me here, okay? Go into church regularly. It's all going to come together to you, I promise. Go into church regularly reading our scripture regularly, praying regularly. I can barely get that word out. It is vital to us, to our spirit, our soul, and our body, keeping us from being fragile and alone. There's all kind of Christians that they don't pray much. They don't read much. Maybe once a week. Maybe at church on Sunday. That's about the most they read is what Pastor James puts up on the board here. They're the weak ones. The feeble, the young, the stragglers, the isolated, the unguarded, the lazy ones. Forgive me, but they don't tithe and they don't give. They lay out of church every chance they can. However, they tell you you should be there. They're always blaming others because of their issues. They have time for the golfing, the fishing, the pottery, the painting, the football, the basketball, whatever it is, the lazy boy sitting naked in their big bag eating Cheetos, whatever it is. But somehow they can't make it to church on Sunday or Wednesday. Oh, I worked all day, brother. It's so hard. Well, I worked all day, too, and I'm here, and I'm preaching. Now, I'm not talking about the ice and weather. I know it's inclement conditions. It hasn't been safe. I actually stayed home this week. It's shocking. And I'm not talking about, you know, visiting mom, visiting family, going on vacation. Those things are important. I'm not saying that. You need a break. You need a rest at times. I'm talking about regularly. Can we say that? Anybody know how to say that? Is it easier to say that in Spanish? Can we say that in Spanish equally easily? Or I don't know. Regularly. On a regular basis.
Yeah. There you go. Preach.
Now, last Sunday, I asked my wife, hey, would you like something for lunch? I'll pick it up. She said yes. So on my phone, right after church, I ordered lunch. Beep, beep, beep. I drove there, picked it up. Oh, it was a bread bowl soup from Panera with broccoli and cheddar soup oozing out of it. Good stuff. A grilled cheese sandwich. It was like that thick, full of cheese. Y'all hungry? I don't know. They weren't baking. I went by there this morning to get cinnamon rolls, and they weren't baking today. Anyways, the phones, apps, easy stuff. We live by our apps now, don't we? But a lot of Christians are trying to live their going to church by apps, getting their ministry by apps or whatever it is. I'm not talking about your app, Bible app or whatever. I'm talking about they're trying to do it the easy way, the lazy way, being lazy about the things of God. When we were growing up, my mom and my stepdad, bless their heart, they went to church to church to church because someone always did them wrong at one church, so we always were at another church. And at some Sundays, we went to church in front of the TV, Robert Tilton, PTL. You know, that was Sunday. And you might be able to say, well, I can be just as good as a Christian as you can or anybody at the house, you know, in my own way. I can be just as good as a Christian at home. Well, a good Christian isn't going to ignore the Bible. A good Christian isn't going to write your own orders. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. There's many reasons for this, and I'll let Pastor James fix what I'm talking about here later on. But, you know, faith comes by hearing, being together. Do you all believe that Pastor James is inspired by the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you believe that he's directed on how to minister to us? Yes. I remember back in Cleveland when I went to church under Pastor Mark Strickland. Every now and then on Wednesdays we'd have Holy Ghost services and Holy Ghost meetings And sometimes when the Spirit got to moving, Pastor Mark started doing the funky chicken dance. Anybody remember the funky chicken dance? And I don't do the funky chicken dance. the point of that is, what is the point of that?
You don't go see it.
If the pastor is being led by the Spirit to do the funky chicken dance, we should be joining in and doing the funky chicken dance. Yes. He's being directed and led as our shepherd on things to do. If he's saying that we should be at church, if he's at church, we should be at church supporting him. If he said there's a guest minister coming, come to church, this place should be filled. So Pastor James, come up and do the funky chicken dance. Just joking. Our shepherd keeps the wolves and the lions away that want to devour us. When the Lord directs you to be at a place, we should be at that place. Brother Hagin, when he was on the deathbed as a young man, he had to basically learn the Bible and the faith message himself, because all the preachers he brought in to teach him, help him, hey, what about this woman with the issue of blood? What about her faith made her whole? Every one of them said, it's okay, brother. You're going to pass away soon. It'll be okay. So he had to learn these things on his own. And so once he got through it, the Lord told him, hey, go teach my people faith. And that's what he did. Brother Keith Moore, later on, as a student, then as a teacher in the Bible school, not in the Bible school, but the health at the healing school, and then later on, he was asked to teach in the Bible school. And so he said, I started reading all these big books with big words. You know, I'm barely getting out the word regularly up here. And he's getting all these big words. And because, you know, he's teaching in school now. He's got to get more intellectual about this. And the Lord corrected him. And he said, I sent you here. Get this about the thing that Brother Hagin was teach my people faith. And so he took a step back and got out Brother Hagin's book, Why Faith. Now, I know there's a virus pandemic going on, and we have live streaming going on, and that's a big blessing. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We've had it going on since November, the November before the pandemic happened. It's a big blessing. Andrew's doing a great job back there. And we're thankful for that. But if the Lord directs you to be in a place, then you're going to miss all kind of things by not being gathered and worshiping there. He said, those that honor me, I will honor. And making the effort to wake up when you don't have to, and getting yourself ready and driving to church, is showing a measure of respect for God and His things that other people are unwilling to show. And it's not about impressing the pastor. Hey, look at me, pastor, I'm here. Look how big of a check I can write, pastor. It's about honoring the Lord. It's about giving Him something, submitting to Him that many other people are not willing to do. And if you will do that, and you will get those things that other people may not be getting, because the Spirit's moving in this place and moving and going on. Brother Keith also, I've been listening to a lot of him. Anybody listen to the Greater Faith Conference this past week? So I got some of this from him, so if you're hearing this, that's where you're getting this from. But he told a story. He said, I used to preach a story about Brother Vic Victory and Brother Terry Trial. Anybody heard this story? He said, listen to Brother Vic talk. It's always about having victory. And listen to Brother Terry talk. You know, his name is Terry Trial. It's all about being in a trial, having a trial. And so they're going down the same road. They're going over the same hill to get to church. And at church, it's testimony time. And Brother Terry gives his testimony. And he gets up and he said, I just want you to know that I need some prayer, brother. I need you to pray for me to make it through somehow. He just come over the hill. No, it was a mountain that he made it over. It was the rough side of the mountain. You know, the wind was blowing. He drove backwards both ways, and the snow, and he was doing his best to make it there. His car was puttering to get over. I used to drive a bus when I lived in Cleveland, and I don't know why the designers of this particular international school bus, they put a Ford F-250 diesel engine in it. Well, some bitty trucks have a Ford F-250 truck engine in it. So this bus, if you were going over a hill, you're lucky to be walking over backwards on your hands, you know, faster than the bus. But here's Brother Terry Trial barely chugging over this thing. It was terrible. It was terrible. Anybody been there? It was terrible. And somebody said, Vic, Mr. Vic Victory, didn't you make it over that hill, that mountain? Didn't you make it over that mountain? And Brother Vic says, that little hill, that's no big deal. Because Brother Vic's full of peace and full of joy. He wasn't stressed out. He was praising God and doing 85 as he crested that hill. Anybody been cresting the hill over 85? Yes. Just downshifted and boom, he was up to that thing. It was the same hill. Have you ever met someone that they go on vacation and they come back and they're complaining about how hard vacation was? The others you hear are like, life is no big deal. But it depends upon how tuned up we are. It depends upon how clogged up we are with the world's junk. Our carburetor might be filled. Our spark plugs might be fouled. Whatever the issue is. But our tank gets filled up here at church. And numerous times people lay out of church. They come twice a year. And then 3 years later, they have a big problem. They come to the pastor and they want one counseling session. They want him to fix everything that they should have been getting in church over the past couple years. Now, I'm not saying don't go to church and talk to counseling and get pastor. I'm just saying we should be here getting the milk and the meat of the word being fed to us and our relationships being built up. We need to be in this environment. We need to be in this atmosphere. We need to be showing respect for it. And we do that. Jesus said, whatever measure you give it, that's how it'll be measured back to us again. Now, I know we have the virus pandemic going on, and I am not a doctor. Everyone listening online, I am not a doctor. I do not play one on TV. But no matter how you feel led to deal with this pandemic, you should not be dealing with it by the attitude of being in fear about it, the attitude of being lazy about it, not in faith about it. The fear of it should not be keeping you from church. The fear of it is making us weak, the feeble, the young, the stragglers, the isolated, the unguarded animals, the lazy ones. Now, I'm not saying come to church and if you that's what you need to do, but don't let it change you because you're in fear about it. Remember, how do you get full of the spirit of fear? Well, you get full of the spirit of fear by yielding to it. You give in to it. You get full of the spirit of laziness by yielding to it. You get full of the spirit of gluttony by yielding to it. You get full of the spirit of whatever by yielding to it. But you get full of the spirit of faith by yielding to it. And your faith is built up and charged and recharged here, listening online. You know, we make our messages all on our website free, and the MP3s are there. You can either have your Apple iTunes automatically send you the message to your podcast. You don't even have to do anything, and it's there. I'm saying all this and on that long rabbit trail because you are tough and competent, and you're not fragile and alone. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some Christians want a lazy, evil, not evil life, but they want a lazy, easy life. They want to lie back and take it easy and go on a spiritual vacation, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to let go and let God. Remember that Robert Tilton and Judy Jacobs singing? Now, there are some things we do need to let go and let God. You know, our troubles and our cares, we don't need to be holding on to those. But when we're in the faith walk, we are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to stand up and pull our britches up and stand strong and speak to the devil, get away from me. We are to be tough and competent. We are an army and we are at war, not against flesh and blood, but against fear and all those things the devil wants us to get sidetracked from our purpose in our faith walk. Satan's not going to be sitting idly by while we sail through life like victory was. But he'll pressure us with hard times. He'll attack us with sickness and lack. He'll lie to you and tell you that God doesn't care. He'll try to convince you that God isn't going to answer your prayer this time. He'll attempt to talk you into believing there's no way out and that you're going to end up a miserable failure. But remember, you are tough and competent. Notice what it says in the scripture there. The devil walks around like a roaring lion. He walks around like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. He is a you remember the stupid little kids with the stupid little Halloween mask that go around and scare people? I remember when my son Eric was a young, wee little lad. Eric, you don't remember this, I'm sure. But we were walking through Lowe's and they had these, excuse me for the word stupid, but it was a stupid little thing that scares people that when you walk by it comes alive. And he got frightened about it, and I took my fist and I punched that thing. He's just got a scary mask on. Underneath it's nothing but fluff and butter. Not the good kind of fluff and butter. He goes around trying to act like a roaring lion. He has a toothless roar because Jesus completely defeated him, disarmed him, and defanged him. Jesus gave us the authority of his name to enforce Satan's defeat. We need to stand strong in Christ and let the enemy know that he will not devour us. We are tough and competent. We are not fragile and alone. Forget what the devil is doing. Forget it. Don't focus on it. When you're focusing on what he's doing, you're saying, praise you, devil. When you're focusing on the issue, you're saying, Jesus, the price you paid does not matter. God is still the creator of the earth, isn't he? Yes. Jesus is still Lord, isn't he?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is still the greater one on the inside of you, isn't he?
Yes.
The Lord is searching throughout the whole earth, running to and fro, looking for those he can show himself strong on the behalf of those people. Yes. He wants to show himself strong on those that have found loyal. Those that are found seeking him, searching him, knowing that he's the greater one.
Yes.
Has your enemy been roaring in your ear? Do you feel fragile and alone? We can and we should enforce his defeat. I want to give you a couple reminders here. Number one, Satan is defeated. Jesus completely disarmed the devil and the host of hell, and he has armed us with spiritual weapons that have divine power, and we need to know our position as victors through Jesus Christ. Number two, we need to use our authority. Not only did Jesus completely defeat Satan through the cross, he gave us the authority to use his name to enforce Satan's defeat. When you walk around using the name of Jesus, the devil doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. When you say in the name of Jesus, you're Jesus' representative in that manner, using his name. You have the authority and the power, and you have all the power backed up behind his name. Just like an officer of the law wears a badge on their shoulder. Well, that badge doesn't make them a superhero, but that badge does give them authority, doesn't it? You're not going to walk up and slap that officer, most likely. You're not going to do that. We need to use our authority and tell the devil he's defeated. Amen. Number three, we need to yield to the greater one. The greater one is in you. He is so much greater than anything in the world. Any name, any virus, any issue, any money problem, any family problem, greater one is in you than he is in the world. No matter what the enemy throws at us, the greater one lives in us. He is greater, and his power in us and through us is greater than anything we face. Amen?
Amen.
And number four, we win. Not only did Jesus defeat Satan on the cross and give us his authority to exercise, He will ultimately crush Satan once and for all. He won and we win every time. No matter the issue, you win. Oh, I just got this horrible letter in the mail. What the issue going on? I win. Oh, I just had this issue with my car. I win. Oh, no matter the issue going on, you win. But are you built up? Are you tough and competent on the inside? Are you fragile and alone on the inside? Remember Gene Kranz's words. He said, tough means we are forever accountable for what we do or what we fail to do. Well, you're accountable for what you do and what you fail to do. We're called to be hooked up together. We're called to abide, have His words abide at home on the inside of us. We're called to never compromise our jobs and our responsibilities, what He's called us to do, to not compromise His words. Gene Kranz said, we will never compromise our responsibilities. Every time we walk into Mission Control, we will know what we stand for. Well, every time you walk through life, you will know what you stand for. You will know that you are a victor. You know that you have more than enough. He said, competent means that we will never take anything for granted. Well, we will not take for granted what Jesus did for us, and we will believe it, and we will act like it's true in our life. And when you leave this meeting today, you will go to your office, and the first thing you will do there is write tough and competent on your blackboards. It will never be erased. You will go from this place today, you will go listening online today, and write on your blackboards in your office or in your notebook or on the tablet of your heart, you are tough and competent. And no matter what the Satan throws up in your way, you are going through, you are going over that hill, you are sailing through life a victor. Amen? You are not fragile and alone. Now, I know I meddled a little bit about church, but church is important. We are called to be here, and this is where we're built up together. And if you can't make it here, I am not putting condemnation on you. You do what God, Lord's leading you with your on in your life. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not playing one. But you don't need to make choices out of fear and let the devil devour you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pray with me if you would. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you are. Father, we thank you that you've called us here to be tough and competent. You called us to be tough and competent in our life and to go out into all the world and preach your gospel of how you are tough and competent, that you have saved us, you have won us back, you have ransomed us out of the devourer, out of the defeat, out of Satan's grasp. He is now toothless and he has no grasp over us. If you're listening today online, if you're in this place today and you're in a place where you don't feel tough and competent, that you feel fragile and alone, today is your day to stand up on the inside, to put His words first on the inside, to let it literally come out of your mouth, I believe your word, Lord. I believe the price that you paid is real for me. I believe the price that you paid for me is true in my life. And I thank you. I am a victor in every situation in my life. I have victory. It's one long, perpetual victory parade in my life. I'm going through life happy. I'm going through life with no issues that are causing me to take my eye off of your word, because your word is more than enough in my life. And if you've been listening today and you've been convicted about anything that I've said, or you've backslidden in your life, today is your day to ask for forgiveness and make a change in your life today and start afresh and anew today. No condemnation, a change. And we thank you for that. If you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and you want this victory in your life, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I take you as my Lord. Come into my heart. Today you are my Lord and my Redeemer. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Look at me if you would. Are you a champion? Yes. Are you a victor?
Yes.
Do you have more than enough in your life?
Yes.
Are you tough and confident?
Yes. Amen.
Then we're going to go shovel some ice outside. Amen. I'm joking. I'm just joking.
Amen.
You are tough and competent. Amen. You are not fragile and alone. And praise God. Thank you for this opportunity to minister today. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor James here. Amen.
Amen. Give Pastor Matthew a